A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 144. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Danger Mouse. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Danger Mouse was a very popular cartoon series that ran on ITV from 1981 all the way through 1992.
That's right. It's a fun show, a rather silly mix of spoofs and parodies of many science fiction and spy-fi type stories, referencing stuff right back to the 50s and 60s, but with lots of other sort of cultural and pop culture references. And it was produced by the Cosgrove Hall Animation Studios, who, as we mentioned before, interestingly enough, also produced two animated versions of missing episodes of Doctor Who, the story The Invasion, which we talked about on British Invaders when we did our Doctor Who missing episode shows way back in our episodes 31 and 32, over 100 episodes ago, Brian.
That's right. Cosgrove Hall have become, in many ways, considered the premier animation studio in the UK. They've really become quite well known, and they've done a lot of high-quality stuff over the years.
That's right, and here we are talking about one of their biggest and most successful shows, probably the show that cemented their reputation, Danger Mouse.
Yes, absolutely, with spy stories and getting into space travel and time travel and mad scientist stories and all sorts of things. So getting into how some of the stories fit together, you always had this intro and outro narration by David Jason, who was also the voice of Danger Mouse, but he did a very different voice as the narrator, and it became very sort of meta or metatextual and would break the fourth wall. The characters would sometimes refer to the narrator or refer to the fact that it's a TV show and what's going to happen in the rest of the episode and things like that, but they would also often just go on without making those kinds of references, so you had some definite variety with those kinds of things in there.
And they are great fun, as you say, when the characters refer to the narrator, and then of course the narrator, as you say, breaking the fourth wall, talking to the audience, often bemoaning the job he has and looking, hoping to find a better acting job at some point. It's great fun.
Yes, it does get to be a little surreal on those things, but definitely in a humorous and a good way.
Okay, and then we have the stories themselves with Danger Mouse and his bumbling assistant Penfold in their base in a pillar box or postal mailbox, which is situated in Baker Street, London, where they get briefed by their boss, the character Colonel K, who, in another little in-joke, we find out used to work for Special Branch. And, of course, at Special Branch, he was referred to not as Colonel K, but as Special K.
Of course.
So, as you know, this is a series packed with little jokes along the way. And from there, Danger Mouse and Penfold would fly into action against Baron Greenback, the villain, and his various henchmen and robotic creations. But as you say, there's other stories. There's mad scientists. There's weird bits of time travel. And, of course, they've got a flying car.
They do have a flying car, and they also have a space pod, which sometimes shows up in the living room and all sorts of places, and they'll jump in this space pod and go off to other planets and all sorts of places.
Yep, for all those people who say, this is the 21st century, where's our flying cars? Well, Danger Mouse has got it.
Yes, apparently so. And Baron Greenback, who was sort of the major villain and the villain in many, many episodes, was a frog or a toad who was very well dressed with his elegant shoes and his elegant walking stick and everything. And he had very much the James Bond villain kind of aspect to him, with the Blofeld references, with, you know, stroking the white cat-like pad and so on. And there were certainly lots of weird and wonderful characters. Some were only there once or twice. Some were there many times. We had, for example, Count Dracula, who was a vampire duck who appeared on a few different occasions and had some very bizarre things and sort of became one of the villains of the series in some ways. We had Agent 57, who was the master of disguise. He would sometimes be a polar bear. He would sometimes be a different creature. He would be all sorts of things, and no one knows what he actually looks like.
That's right, Agent 57, who turns up repeatedly, but he looks, as you say, like a piece of the scenery or a strange character. Nobody can remember what he originally looked like.
Not even he knows what he looks like, apparently.
That's right.
And we had Buggles the Pigeon, who was another flying agent. And yeah, odd things happening there. He shows up a few times in the earlier episodes. We had Henrik von Squackenkluck, who was this very odd scientist, and I guess sort of the Q character in the James Bond style thing, who would have these bizarre experiments and introduce some things with time travel at some points, and all sorts of bizarre things there. And in later episodes, we had a mad scientist type of character called Augustus P. Crumhorn, who did all sorts of bizarre things and had this inexplicable tendency to take potions that would transform him into a young girl for some reason.
It's bizarre stuff.
Yes, it's bizarre stuff, but in a rather funny cartoon way.
Absolutely. If you look at the list of the character names on the Wikipedia page or on the DVD sets, they are just hilarious. There are so many of them, and they've just got weird names. Dr. Frankenstoat, they meet in one of the Count Dracula stories as well. It's all great stuff.
Yes. Eamon, do you know what a Crumhorn is?
No, I don't.
It was a wind instrument from the Renaissance era that sounds a bit like a trumpet with a dent in it filled with coffee played by someone with a head cold.
That sounds fantastic when you put it like that.
Not the prettiest sounding of instruments, but I definitely got a laugh when they had a character called Dr. Crumhorn or Professor Crumhorn.
Fantastic. Yes, when you describe it like that, how can we possibly resist that musical instrument?
Yes, all kinds of bizarre things in here, which was quite wonderful. Some of the characters changed and evolved over time. Baron Greenback himself became more of a mad scientist and had all kinds of strange inventions as the series goes by, which were quite amusing.
Okay, and while they're doing this with all these weird and wacky characters, they're also doing parodies, spoofs of many famous films and TV references. So along the way, we have, we've mentioned Danger Mouse being partly inspired by James Bond and Danger Man. We've mentioned the Baker Street connection to Sherlock Holmes. We have Danger Mouse and Penfold having to recover a missing yellow idol in a sort of Indiana Jones type episode. And then we've got episodes called Danger Mouse on the Orient Express, The Spy Who Stayed In With a Cold, A June with a View.
Close Encounters of the Absurd Kind.
That's it.
Was one of them, as was The Planet of the Cats, which was a very amusing take on The Planet of the Apes. Quite fun.
Yes, and of course proposed its own hazards to your lead characters being Danger Mouse and Penfold, who's a hamster. So.
Yes. And we had references to Doctor Who, particularly in the episodes with the time traveling grandfather clock, but of course in some ways the pillar box itself was a Doctor Who reference. But they had Star Trek references at times, and Mission Impossible references, and references to the Gerry Anderson shows. I think the way that Danger Mouse and Penfold go to their car to the Mark III, the flying car, in almost every episode is definitely a Gerry Anderson style innovation.
Oh yes, absolutely, yes, well spotted. Gerry Anderson loves transporting people into vehicles with weird and wonderful devices, and Danger Mouse and Penfold do something very similar.
Yes, they jump on a couch which turns into an elevator, shoots them down many floors to their car, and then dumps them into the seat.
Yep, absolutely. It's lovely stuff all along the way, peppered with these strange characters, these weird names, and lots of little in-jokes and references to all this stuff. Plus, as we've said, the weird narration, which is great fun for the parents watching it with their children. As I'm sure you're getting the idea, all in all, this is a very silly, very fun show with lots of jokes and lots of stuff going on.
Yes, absolutely. Very definitely a fun, silly kids' cartoon show.
I'll soon have you out of there.
Good evening, Danger Mouse.
Baron Greenback. Don't move. You're under arrest.
I think not, Danger Mouse. For this time, you will boldly go where no mouse has gone before. Deep into time and space, on a journey from which you will never return.
Now, we should talk about some of the spin-off properties from this, because being such a big show, there certainly were quite a few of them.
Yes, absolutely. We've got a huge range of toys, books, puzzles, and over the years, various VHS releases. And interestingly, this is a show, I think, where the merchandise has sort of grown up with its audience, Brian. So as the years have gone on, things have sort of changed slightly.
They had things like clothing and key rings and fridge magnets, all these little sorts of things. With the recent sort of anniversary things, with the 25th and then 30th anniversary, they had some children's clothing and figures and action figures and that sort of thing.
Yep, all great stuff. And of course, it's not unusual to see adults at science fiction and comic conventions wearing a Danger Mouse t-shirt themselves with the DM logo up on the breast. So that's very good. And as with many of these shows we've talked about recently, we have comic strip adaptations. There was a very successful and long-running comic strip version in the children's television magazine Lookin. And interestingly, they were illustrated by the comic book artist Arthur Ransom, who has since gone on to work for 2000 AD. But he started off with this Danger Mouse strip. So, you know, great fun.
Were those strips running in the 1980s when the series was still running?
That's right. Yes, they were. They were 1980s strips. I'm not sure if they've been collected anywhere at all, but they were, interesting stuff. Lookin' magazine.
Yes, definitely a classic for lots of TV tie-in stuff. And I believe there were a bunch of video games floating around as well.
That's right. Again, not our particular expertise, but yes, Danger Mouse in various video games, which you could buy over the years, or obviously you could control the character himself and make him do various adventures. Whether they shared the same type of humor as the show, I hope they did. But as ever, if you know more about the video games for Danger Mouse, or as we discussed in our last episodes for Captain Scarlet, then do let us know.
Absolutely. We'd love to run a review of those if someone wants to record one for us. There was also one big spin-off. There was Count Duckula, which was a TV series based on the character from Danger Mouse, and it was also a Cosgrove Hall series, and it was quite long-running, featuring the vegetarian vampire duck, voiced by David Jason, who was the voice of both Danger Mouse and Count Duckula on the Danger Mouse series. And yeah, Count Dracula appeared in 3 Danger Mouse episodes, and then, of course, in this whole long-running series himself.
That's right, yes. It was a very popular spin-off from another very popular show, and it shared the same weird sense of humour. David Jason, this time, doing a slightly lispy voice as the vegetarian Count Dracula. It's more great fun, I think, Brian.
Yes, absolutely.
So we've talked as we've gone along about this being a very popular show, Danger Mouse, so much so that when Channel 4 in 2001 ran their series on the 100 greatest children's television shows, there it came in the vote at number 3 in the top 100, only being beaten by The Simpsons and The Muppets Show. So it gives you an idea of how popular it was.
Yeah, that's remarkable. That's really quite up there. The BBC bought a license to broadcast some reruns in 2007, and those were quite popular and introduced the show to a new generation, really. So it's still out there and still being watched and enjoyed by the younger generation, which is great.
And it is one of those shows that can be watched by parents and their children together. The parents will enjoy the in-jokes and the narration, and the kids will enjoy the sort of wacky humour and the adventures of Danger Mouse. So it's a great sort of family show.
Yes, absolutely. So we should get into some of our own particular thoughts, what we thought about this and what we liked and didn't like as much. So, Eamon, what did you like about this show?
Well, I guess the main thing is the sense of fun that the creators are having making the show, and that comes across to us when watching these episodes, that they are just good fun. It's wacky entertainment, it's weird and wonderful stuff. And it's got that lovely Cosgrove Hall cell animation for us to look at as well, Brian.
Yes, it is a fun show. It has a good sense of humor to it. I really enjoyed the parodies and the references to various things they threw in there because they were quite well done and they were very clever. So that was really quite fun.
Yes, they're lovely when they come along, and as we've said, they come along thick and fast. So yes, it's great to have all those little nods and references. So the writing is entertaining. A lot of it, as I say, down to Brian Truman, who also did the voices of Stiletto on the show. But yeah, it's great stuff.
Yes, it had a visual style to it, which I think was really influenced by the classic Looney Tunes series with Bugs Bunny and the rest of them, where you have, you know, characters running off the edge of a cliff and then realizing it and then falling, and, you know, the big puff of smoke when someone runs away, and all of these sort of signature cartoon visuals. This really does have the feel of a classic style kids cartoon.
Yes, it's interesting that, as you say, we have the sort of like the shorthand of cartoons here as well, as you say, perfectly illustrated by characters running off a cliff but not falling until they realize they're falling. And as we've said previously, the episodes where the lights will go out and we just get these blinking eyes at us, which obviously was a cost cutter for the animators, but also produced that same sort of wacky cartoon style that we'd grown used to.
Yes, it had a particular sort of signature look to it, because Danger Mouse has the sort of like yellow colored eye, and then one eye has the eye patch on it, and Penfold has the two white eyes, and, you know, they're different shapes of eye and different heights, so it's sort of this very unusual and distinctive look of the two eyes and then the one eye there. So I think when they found that had such a distinctive look, they used it quite a bit. And yeah, you definitely had this sort of classic cartoon kind of feel to it. And that, in a way, can be great. What I'm going to jump in and say on the more negative side, I found that sometimes the cartoon style, because I don't usually watch that many cartoons on my own at this stage, was something that got in the way a little bit. And when you have such a long-running series and so much to look at times it would be a little much.
Yes, I would agree with that. One of the problems of watching it, as we've been doing for British Invaders, is that when you watch several episodes at once, they do tend to sort of whiz by. and watching the old one episode here or there, particularly with your children or whatever, would be probably preferable. So sometimes the animation style does seem a bit, I suppose with all these shows, a bit repetitive. And some of the episodes blur into one another.
Yes, we also had the slightly odd thing with having several different formats for how they did the episodes. So some of them were the short 10 or 11 minute standalone episodes. Some of them were serialized, where they would have five minute episodes that made one long serial. And some were, you know, sort of 22 to 25 minute full episodes. And those sort of fit very different styles of the storytelling. I found that the short episodes, the 10 or 11 minute standalone stories, while some of them were really quite clever, I found a lot of them were not as good because there was just only so much they could do in that short episode. When they got to the serialized ones and had the cliffhangers there, I found those were really quite clever and did some neat things with them. And in some cases, the longer episodes were also really quite good. So I found there was a difference, and that's partially just my taste towards longer episodes, that when they did get into the longer things, it was more entertaining and more fun to watch them.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to mention the voices, Brian, because I think the vocal talents, particularly of David Jason and Terry Scott, are just fantastic. And what they brought to the characters of Danger Mouse and Penfold and the narrator were just brilliant.
Yes, absolutely. They fit into the style and the character. You know, they really nail those characters all of the time, which is great. And the others, certainly with Baron Greenback and Stiletto, also, you know, they consistently get them, and when the characters sort of change a little bit over time, the fact that the voices have them always really right there brings them the extra little bit of consistency that you want there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great stuff. And as we've said, there are, you know, it's not a perfect show. Sometimes it is, there are a few negative things when watching it. And it's perhaps, I suppose, it's one of the sillier shows we've considered here on British Invaders. But it's a bit of light relief. We've been talking about some dark shows. We've got some darker shows to come. So a little bit of light relief, a little palate cleanser here on British Invaders, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And it's one of these shows that you really have to see it for what it is. It's this children's cartoon. And for a children's cartoon, it really hits the notes of what it should for that very well. And it gets some of these nice parodies and some quite clever writing into it. So it does what it does quite well, I think.
It does. And as always, we like to bring in the Facebook group where we mentioned in advance that we were going to discuss Danger Mouse, which I think was sort of universally greeted with approval by the Facebook group. And I'll quote Gordon, who summed it up by saying, "Danger Mouse is simply brilliant." So there we are.
Yes, there you go. Favorite episodes? Anything you want to highlight?
I did enjoy it when they were doing things like The Spy Who Stayed In With a Cold, possibly just because of the title and things like that. Anything that involves Count Duckula was good fun. It's all, you know, it's all great stuff. What about yourself?
Oh, there were some fun ones for sure. One of the first longer stories was called Custard, and involved seas of custard flooding the world and having to get custard-eating bugs from outer space. It was bizarre and out there and really quite fun. Planet of the Cats, we already mentioned, was quite neat in its own way. They played around later in the series with body swapping, which was entertaining. They had a whole fun variety of, you know, all sorts of things.
Absolutely. Yeah, great stuff. So I guess that brings us to our recommendations for this show, Brian. So if you're ready, I shall ask you what you're going to suggest to our listeners.
Well, it sort of depends on your situation. If you are big into cartoons, or if you have kids who watch cartoons, absolutely you should add this into the rotation of things they watch. So, you know, if your kids like Looney Tunes or other kinds of cartoons, introduce them to this and watch this with your kids. I think it's perfect for that. if you're not a big cartoon person, as I'm not, then you're not showing this to kids. I would say try out the odd episode here and there, and you'll probably find it quite fun. Going through the whole thing in order at a reasonably quick pace is maybe a little much, but watching a little bit here and there, the odd one, is great fun. So I would definitely recommend it in that way, especially the serialized episodes and the longer running episodes.
Okay, I think you've summed it up perfectly, Brian. Perhaps watching it the way we've been watching it for these episodes is not quite correct. You need to watch the odd one here or there. And as Brian says, it's perfect if you've got children. You should buy the box set because they'll love it and you'll enjoy watching it with them. But if you're not going to buy the box set, dip into an episode here or two on YouTube every now and then as a sort of palate cleanser. They are great fun.
Yes, absolutely. So, in summary, Danger Mouse was a long-running cartoon that ran on ITV from the early 80s right through to the early 90s, and it involved the greatest secret agent in the world, Danger Mouse, and his bumbling assistant Penfold, who was a hamster, and they would be sent on assignments, usually fighting Baron Greenback, the frog or toad, and they would go on all sorts of adventures to save the world again and again, sometimes going out beyond the world, out into space, and sometimes with time travel, and always with lots of parody and references to other things and lots of clever writing and humor throughout.
Great stuff. And as ever, if you remember Danger Mouse, if you've watched it recently, we'd like to hear your comments. Do jump in on the Facebook group or our forum and let us know what you think.
Yes, absolutely. Please do.
And, of course, please come back and join us for our next pair of episodes when we are switching to a much darker and creepier show, very definitely an adult show. We're going to be looking at Crooked House, which is a series of linked ghost stories that one of our favourite creators, Mark Gatiss, did for the BBC as a series of Christmas ghost stories in 2008. And there's some good bits and pieces for us to talk about there, Brian, I think.
Yes, that will definitely be a fun thing to look at in the British tradition of ghost stories for Christmas. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network. You can find us at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com with some other great podcasts from our friends there as well. We are on Facebook, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our Facebook group, and we have some fun discussions going on there.
Yes, absolutely. Come and find us on Facebook, where it's quite lively at the moment. Or you may wish to join us on the Voice of Geeks streaming internet radio, which is at vognetwork.com, where we go out twice a week, I believe, Brian.
Yes, Mondays and Tuesdays.
And we now also have a forum there at vognetwork.com. So if you don't do the Facebook, come and join us on the forum.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada saying, oh, crumbs.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us. And until next time, this is Eamon in England saying, good grief.